Joining me here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Gary Chico, an attorney and candidate for mayor of Chicago. Gary, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Nice to be with you and your listeners, Rick.
I could go through the litany of positions you've held.
Okay.
but we only have, this segment. So, chief of staff to Mayor Daley, president of the Chicago School Board, president of the Park Board, chair of the City Colleges, chair of the State Board of Education, now mayor?
I hope to be. I definitely want to see a safer and stronger Chicago. I'm very concerned that I don't see the opportunities that were afforded to my family and me and my children being available to everyone for lots of reasons. I mean, number one is fear of crime and violence in our neighborhoods. I'm really worried about that. I've lived in just about every neighborhood in Chicago. McKinley Park, Brighton Park, Edgewater, Rogers Park. I can keep going almost as long as the number of positions I've had. But I think I have a feel and a knowledge of Chicago and the people that make it up. I think that is unique to me, and I'm very proud of that. I also, I've gone to the Chicago Public Schools. My parents went to the public schools. My kids went to the public schools. And I hope my grandchildren go to the Chicago Public Schools. Education is critical. It was critical for me in giving me the start that I got. It's got to be there for everybody. But it's not those jobs that you mentioned earlier, everyone that I was called upon to serve in, I answered that call, and we got results. City of Chicago, we hired more police. We made the streets safer. We had some of the highest bond ratings in the last probably half century. When I was at the Chicago Public Schools, We generated surpluses. We rebuilt the buildings. We gave people hope and faith that the public school system could work again. We started the academic resuscitation of Chicago Public Schools. A lot of that is the foundation for which you see improvements coming today. I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to have served at the Park District, where we rebuilt parks and neighborhoods. And I'm equally proud of the Chicago City Colleges, where we began the turnaround or the reinvention of community college education, which is absolutely vital today for people who are going to get a meaningful job in this economy. So I'm very pumped. I'm very passionate about my city. And I hope that the people of Chicago give me the privilege of being their mayor.
Now, of course, you ran for this position 8 years ago.
I did.
Finished second with about a quarter of the vote to Mayor Emanuel. What lessons did that run then give you for this run now, if any?
Well, first of all, people got to know me a lot more than they may have before that. I mean, getting 145,000 votes is no small feat. We raised about $4.5 million in about 4 or 5 months. I got to learn from people directly beyond what I already knew. When you go through a campaign, it's like time travel. I mean, you're meeting so many people so quickly, hearing about so many issues. It's really a gift, and I said that at that time. What you have to do is learn from every experience, whether it's positive or negative, and build from that and go forward. That's exactly what we're doing right now. We know what we have to do to have the resources to run this campaign. We'll have the millions of dollars in our war chest to be able to get our message out to everybody throughout this city. I think we'll have the agenda very honed based on listening to what people want and seeing what people are going through. I think you're going to see this campaign hit the ground running right away.
You touched on the issues of crime, which I think is a preeminent issue because it is now prevalent throughout this city. What's the answer?
Well, there's no single answer. We all know that. We've learned that over the years. I've proposed the mayor's office for violence prevention and reduction. Why? From my experience, having served as chief of staff to Mayor Daley, who I like, I learned a lot. And I learned that on any major complex project, you can't have disparate silos working on a problem. This office that I've proposed will have the police department, Department of Family Services, Department of Planning, private social service agencies, and others working together to not only conceive, implement, and account for results in bringing down our violence. We know we have to take another look at the police force. I said 8 years ago that I thought you were going to have an attrition problem, which was going to deplete manpower, and you're seeing that. You've seen it. You're moving officers from one district to another. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You don't have enough people in the detective ranks. We haven't kept pace with our facilities either. The training facilities for police and firefighters is archaic. And you can go out to the College of DuPage right now and find modern training facilities in DuPage County. in Chicago, we're fighting about it. Look, I know people have a lot of issues with trust with police and the police with the community right now, but we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I don't believe in forcing projects down the throat of communities that don't want them. On the other hand, this $100 million facility that's been proposed is critical to make sure that we have the best trained police force in America. That project's got to be built, if not in the community where it's proposed. Let's move it and let's get it underway. But it's not just about police. We know it can't just be about police. I think people in Chicago's neighborhoods, many of those suffering through the violence, have given up a little bit. We have to show them that that's not the way. There are several initiatives out there right now that I think are showing early promise, like the Ready Initiative from the Heartland Alliance. What they're doing there is they probably have about 200 people thus far recruited, many of them from gangs, to be recruited into regular, positive jobs, cutting the grass, picking up boxes, serving meals to the elderly. People, what we're finding is that people are getting esteem from a regular paycheck and they're enjoying themselves. You can leave the gang life and go into a positive experience. Same thing with the Safe Haven organization on Chicago's West Side. When I was in the mayor's office, we started by giving them the landscaping contract to do all of Chicago's medians and boulevards. Why is that important? Their workforce is made up from people who have gone to prison, have a hard time getting back into the working world. It also is made up of people who are homeless. And I see you're going to go right down State Street and see them gathering up in the morning with their trucks and their equipment to start doing work. This teaches and shows people that positive things can happen. You can't stop there. We also have to show people that we're going to reinvest obsessively in their communities. We haven't done that. Downtown's a great shining example of what Chicago can be. That has got to migrate a lot more so than it has to date in our neighborhoods.
And that seems to be one significant failing that we've seen.
Well, it can work. I mean, look, I've been a lawyer for 30 years, and most of the time I've been lawyering, I've been doing real estate development in communities in Chicago, building hospitals, schools, commercial facilities, warehouse and distribution. I know how to do this from the ground up. I think it could be something that's a secret weapon of ours, if you will, to bring development to the neighborhoods. And what's that going to do? It's not only going to change the physical appearance. I mean, let's go down Chicago and Madison right now. We'll take those two streets and go west. And you'll see buildings that haven't been touched for 40 and 50 years with the scissor gates in front of an old burned out building. We have to get rid of that. Let's show people some hope. Let's show them we care and let's show them that investment.
How do you, along with that kind of investment, but also how do you spur the business growth that is also needed to bring jobs
well,
to those
areas? My spurt of growth in those neighborhoods is going to be by business. There's coffee shops. The retailing has changed dramatically over the years. You see Amazon Go right here in the loop with the facilities. Let's talk to Amazon Go, not just about their mega facility, but maybe some of those kinds of places in our neighborhoods along streets. Once you get critical mass going on a block or two, things will take off, and people from those neighborhoods will be working in those facilities.
We're speaking with Gary Chico, candidate for mayor of Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Skyline studio with mayoral candidate Gary Chico. And Gary, obviously we touched on this issue of education and the importance of that. With the school closings that occurred and those neighborhoods, what do we do about that?
I think we missed an opportunity in closing those schools to repurpose the buildings in the communities right away. It's one thing to close a school and give some shock and trauma to a neighborhood. It's an entirely other thing to leave that building sitting there vacant for the years that have gone by now. There are many possible purposes that you can use those buildings for. Job retraining. I've mentioned some programs earlier in the show which could probably use a facility to help run a larger scale program. And if I'm mayor, the city will get behind those kinds of initiatives in a way like they haven't before. We're obviously going to need a place to do that. I think that's what you have to do with the schools that have been closed. We've waited way too long for those buildings to be repurposed.
But it wasn't wrong to close those schools?
Well, I think, look, what happens is if you don't right-size the portfolio of the Chicago Public Schools, you wind up taking from children who need resources. If you have an enormous 300,000-500,000 square foot building with 75 to 100 students in it, you have to carry all of that to support that smaller population of students. Then those schools which are full don't get their fair share. And so I think we have to be really smart in looking at the size of our facilities, the amount of our populations. I think it was your paper that wrote about, I think it was editorialized today, about 150,000 seats that are not filled. Well, look, we're losing people in this city, and that's because of the violence issue, largely because of the violence issue. We have to straighten that out first. That's job number one. But they go hand in hand with the Chicago public schools. So I think when you look at what needs to take place in having the right amount of buildings, the right amount of staff for the right amount of students, you'll have resources to make sure that we're paying teachers good wages, that we don't have as much of a problem making our pension payment. And that's what I'm about. And most importantly, Rick, I want to be a mayor who stands for every parent in this city getting a top-flight quality school accessible to them. What we're seeing are a couple of things right now. I see parents all the time that come up. They come up to me and say, I have a sixth grader, and I don't know where to go to high school. I'm on your roulette wheel, and maybe I'll get lucky, and maybe I won't. I said, well, that's unacceptable. I mean, I was happy to start the selective enrollment program in Chicago and really get it going on top of what we had with Whitney and Lane. I was happy to bring the IB program from about one site to 40 sites, and I was really happy to bring charter schools into being and also have advanced placement expand dramatically. We have to look at expanding that set of options because that's where our parents and their students are going. And they're going to long distances to get them. Look, people are voting with their feet. I'm not making this up. You now have more mobility within the Chicago public student population than you've ever had before because people are going to where they want to go for what they think is the best education for their children. It also could be something that has to do with a particular program offering that may be in a different part of the city. Maybe it's the engineering STEM programs, which I actually worked with Rahm Emanuel on. I was very, very proud to do that by bringing Chicago companies in to sponsor Chicago public high schools with engineering STEM programs. It could be fine arts. I know kids traveling from across the city to go to fine arts schools and performing arts schools. So I believe in giving people top quality options without them having to pull their hair out. This is something we're going to stop in Chicago, and we're going to keep people in this city.
Keeping people in the city, vitally important, as well as finding ways to pay for the city.
Sure.
And we certainly know what lies ahead, particularly with our pension problems.
Sure.
What do we do? Well, do we have any other choice but to pay up?
Well, I think there's a lot of things you can do. We just talked about it, for example, within the school context. I mean, if you right-size the portfolio of buildings and students and staff, you should be able to make your payroll, give a good wage to teachers, and handle our pension obligations. We have to look at the same thing at the city of Chicago. And I believe in doing this collaboratively with labor. I'm not going to cram down anything on anybody in the first instance. At the end of the day, don't worry about me. I'll make the call, which is right for the citizens of Chicago. But there's an awful lot of discussion that needs to take place about what we do about the size of our staff, the benefits and wages we pay. But I want to do that with labor. We don't have to do that in a vacuum. And I think we'll have a better city for it. There's a lot of options with regard to revenue, to raise revenue. I talked about a casino and a casino license 8 years ago. I don't think that's off the table. I think those kinds of things have to be looked at. And I think we have to look at ways to reduce expenses. I'll give you one that's giant, staring us in the face. I talked about the need to have the best trained police force in the United States of America. When you do that, you won't have an annual tab of $500 million for police judgments. We're going to get away from that, okay? It's costing us a fortune. It's costing us not only in terms of the money we're paying, but the emotional trauma involved with these cases. There are lots of ways to look at making this budget work going into the future. I believe in multi-year planning, and we're going to do that.
The consent decree on the police department.
Just finished making my way through it. It's about 270 pages.
Yes.
It's a monster. But, you know, having been in the mayor's office, I'm used to the issues involved with police. And if you read this report, for example, when I was in the mayor's office, we began community policing in Chicago in the early 90s. It was a fabulous rollout. Everybody liked it. Communities were coming into police districts, meeting with the police officers, the beat cops, And the exchange of information and rapport that was built up was outstanding. That has gone away. The consent decree's first chapter calls for the reinstitution of community policing. Spot on. It also calls for that kind of level of training I talked about. It calls for hiring and promotion. We need a more diverse police force. I mean, there are a number of topics in there that are just common sense and have to be dealt with. Transparency in police disciplinary procedures, absolutely necessary. The reason I called for the Mayor's Office of Violence Prevention and Reduction is to give that group the responsibility to oversee and coordinate on behalf of the city its compliance with that consent decree. I actually think it's a document we should work with and make our city better.
The fact, though, that we needed a consent decree?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, things have gotten bad over the last seven, eight, nine, who knows how many years. It's been going on for a while. Things have gotten very bad, and the trust has broken down between the police and the neighborhoods. We have to rebuild that. The Attorney General felt it necessary to bring this action in federal court. This would be a federal court overseen consent decree. The mayor, I think to his credit, stepped up and said, let's get this done. We have to rebuild the trust between the police and our communities. Look, the police, they put their lives on the line. I was out at a parade in South Chicago last week, and somebody got out of hand. I think there may have even been a gun involved, and there were eight squad cars there like that. We need that kind of responsiveness from the police to keep us safe. But at the same time, if the neighborhoods, if the people in the neighborhoods don't feel that they're getting a fair shake, we're not going to get this done. So I believe that the consent decree is something to work with. Let's spring off of it, and let's make things better.
Just in the closing moments we have, in this massive field, which could still be growing.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Well, and obviously, I think it will shrink at some point, but nevertheless, how do you message yourself and differentiate yourself to the voters?
I'm a through and through Chicagoan my entire life. I mentioned those communities I've lived in, my family's lived in, my mom and dad, even my grandparents when they came from Mexico, Greece, and Lithuania came to this city. This is the one they chose. You couple that kind of life experience with professional experience, having been chief of staff to the mayor, chairman of the Chicago schools, chairman of the state school board, where we brought hundreds of millions of dollars into public education, the park district president, and the community colleges president, and a practicing lawyer. You put that all together, I think I'm the most experienced candidate to take on these tough issues, reduce violence, make our school system better, and rebuild our communities. I'm ready to hit the ground on day one. I'm battle-tested. We don't have time for on-the-job training and where we are right now. We're at a very critical point in Chicago. I also want to get away from the politics of division. I don't want to be... I'm proud of my heritage, okay? I just told you, I'm Mexican-American. I'm Greek and Lithuanian. I'm very proud of that. I'm going to work with everybody. I'm tired of being pigeonholed. I got to be this. We have to have the candidate for them, the candidate for them. I don't believe in that. I want to work for every Chicagoan with every Chicagoan. That's what our candidacy is going to be about. I think when you put all that together, we easily distinguish ourselves as the most capable, ready to go on day one.
That's Gary Chico, attorney, candidate for mayor of the city of Chicago. Gary, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.